Good to see everybody, and really excited about today. Bill and Myra are going to come forward in a few minutes to be baptized, and that's exciting, always exciting as a church to be baptizing people. And just seeing them want to share publicly their profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I thought, I was praying about this and seeking the Lord, what do you want me to speak about? And the subject of the cost of being a disciple came to my mind. I just had gone through it in Luke 14, so that's where we'll be, Luke 14, verses 25 to 34. And we're going to talk this morning a little bit about the cost of being a disciple and what that's all about. It's fitting for today because we have two people that are going to come forward, and they have decided to follow Jesus. And that's neat. So let's read the scripture passage first in Luke 14, 25. A large crowd was following Jesus, and he turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciples, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before you run out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he would send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So there's a pretty stern words from our Lord about the cost of being a disciple. And every one of us here this morning has come or will come to the place in our lives where we will need to stop and count the cost. Not only once, but probably many times in our lives, we'll have to do that. I farmed for many years, and my wife and I, every spring, for about 29 years, we would come to the table and we would say, well, we have to make some financial decisions, count the cost, how much money is it going to cost us to seed the crop, spray and fertilize and all of that stuff. And every spring, we would count the cost of what it would cost to farm. And we would consider the cost and the risk. And in farming, as many of you know, farming is you put all that money into the ground and you're never sure about what's going to pan out. And we'd take a deep breath, and with a prayer on our lips, we'd move forward. We count the cost. And sometimes, you know, we want to venture into a new business or something like that, or even young people that are graduating, getting close to the end of their school days, wondering about seeking a career, wondering about God's direction in your life. What is he going to want you to do? You have to stop and listen and listen for the Lord to speak and count the cost in your life. You know, with young people, it's like okay, I'm going to be moving out. I'm going to have my own place. I got expenses to pay, bills to pay. It's a little scary. But we move forward. And, you know, getting married, I was thinking about getting married, is exciting, but we should never dive right into marriage without considering the commitment, the cost of getting married. We're going to be spending the rest of our life with our spouse. Good or bad, rich or poor, sickness and in health, and am I willing to commit my life not only in the good times, but in the bad times, to hang in there when it's not so good? No matter what, to stand by my spouse, whatever happens. So those are some of the things. We all come to that place in our life where we need to count the cost. And that's what was happening in Jesus' day. My first point, we need to stop and look and listen. And that's what was happening in Jesus' day. He was in the major part of his ministry. It was exciting to be around Jesus. He was healing people. He was feeding thousands. His preaching was phenomenal. His teaching was phenomenal. It amazed the religious leaders of the day. And he was doing so many exciting things there. It was really neat to be around Jesus. But in Luke 14:25, Jesus stopped the crowds that were following him, and he challenged them to think. Some were following him for the right reasons. Their heart was in it, for sure. Their heart was in it. They loved the Lord. And they were following him for the right reasons, but most of them were following with totally all the wrong reasons. And that's what Jesus was helping the people to see. And they needed to stop and count the cost. And they were saying they were following because they were interested in what they could get. They seen Jesus feed people, they seen Jesus heal people, they seen demons cast out, and they were following Jesus because of what they could get. And they had the wrong attitude about that. This is so wonderful, and they were all caught up in it. It's like a free ride. This is the Messiah. He is soon going to rule, and we will tag along, catch a free ride. And Jesus turns around and says, "Have you considered what you are getting into? This is no picnic. It's pretty serious stuff." And Jesus' own words himself, later on, he says, "Narrow and difficult is the road that leads to life. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way," Matthew 7:13-14. So it's not easy, Jesus said. If you want to be my disciple, it is not always going to be an easy street. You have to make some pretty hard choices at times. We go through some pretty real difficulty sometimes. It's not for the faint of heart. You might have to go against your family, your friends, your spouse. It could even cost you your life. Whoa. And, you know, as we move along in the world today, we kind of see that maybe edging a little closer. These kinds of things, these kinds of challenges in our lives. But that's the way it is. Being a Christian can shake us to the core. It can. It has me many times. But I would not trade it for nothing. It's wonderful when your heart's in it. And you come out the other side, and I always become a better person. I always do. When I'm saying, "Okay, Lord," when I say, "No, I don't want to do this, Lord," when I resist and I back away and God takes the pressure off, I lose. But when I say to the Lord, I'm in it, Lord, I'm going to hold your hand, I'm going to walk through it, I always become a better person, and we always will become a better person when I hang on to my Lord and walk with him, willing to do whatever he asks. Have we stopped to consider the cost this morning? Are we willing to put our shoulder into it and hang on to the Lord, just like my wife and I did seeding in the spring? Oh, hang on to the Lord. Well, one spring we lost all of, 1 year we lost all of our crop. Never had a thing. But God sustained us and brought us through. And next spring came around and we started seeding our crop again. Amazing. That was a miracle. So it's wonderful to take the Lord's hand and walk with him. Sometimes you're going over those mountaintops, you know, and you're just enjoying all that scenery all around. Awesome. And then you're going through the valleys, often deep and dark and lonely. But you know, there's no worries. Even when I walk, David wrote these words, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Psalms 23:4. So many of you know that song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." Have you come to a tough place? Are you thinking about quitting? Need to stop, look, and listen. Okay? Need to stop. Jesus stopped the crowd. And he spoke to them. And Jesus wants to stop us sometimes, and he wants us to get into his word, get into prayer, and he wants to speak to us and confirm in our lives what he's doing and where we should be going, what direction we should be taking. So consider the direction that you're going. In Isaiah 30:21, your own eyes will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, "This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left." Then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags. You know, when we walk with the Lord, everything else becomes of no value. When we're walking close to Jesus, that's the way it is. That's what God says here. He says, we're just going to throw everything else, and they'll become like filthy rags. So we need to walk with the Lord. Nothing that can compare to our wonderful Savior. Are we willing to stop and listen, to hear, to get ourselves on the road God has marked out for us, to make sure adjustments, to make some adjustments in our lives, in our hearts? Everything else seems like filthy rags compared to knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So, have you given your heart to Jesus today? If you haven't, that is the most important decision that you can make today, giving your heart to Jesus. That's the starting point of coming to know this abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it to the full." Salvation is a free gift, but the Lord just gives that to us freely. But the Lord wants us to come to him with everything, and he wants us to hand it over so that he can pick it up and bless our lives. So and notice in verse 22, point here in verse 27, it says, "And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." You know, every one of us has a little different call and a little different journey in life. Every one of us has a little different call and a little different journey in life. And God has made us all different. Our strengths and our weaknesses, our gifts. I was just thinking about this here, Illustrate. We've got this here laptop computer at home, and every once in a while it gets all jammed up, eh? Can't do nothing with it. So we take it downtown to Michael at the health store, and he just like plunks away at the keyboard and ding, 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 and boom, it's clean and working fine again. And I just sit there and I marvel at that guy, and I think, wow, you know, he's pretty good at that, yeah. But you know, Michael, like, if he has a car problem, he'll be coming to me and saying, I got this problem, could you fix that? And I said, oh, yeah, no problem, you know. And that's the thing it is with us. One of us does something really well, and we marvel at that. Oh, I can't do that. And the other person does something else, and we just, oh, wow, that's super cool. Yeah. But that's the amazing thing about serving God, that we all have different gifts and strengths. So God has made us all different. So we have different struggles. The cross in this verse is a symbol of suffering. If the Lord had to suffer, we will have to suffer too. And we need to keep putting one foot in front of the other till we learn how to walk. Just like a toddler. You know, a toddler, eh? They put one foot in front of the other until they learn how to walk. The audience in Jesus' time in Rome was the audience that Jesus was speaking to. They would have been very aware of what it meant to carry one's own cross. When the Romans led a criminal to his execution site, he was forced to carry the cross on which he would die. This showed his submission to Rome and warned observers that they had better submit too. Jesus spoke this illustration to get the crowds to think through their enthusiasm for him. He encouraged those who were superficial either to go deeper or to turn back. And that's what the Lord encouraged people in that day. He said they either need to go deeper, you need to get your heart in this, or he said you're going to be turning back. You're not going to make it. And folk, brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't want to turn back. We want to know our Lord, take hold, and lean into the Lord. It is so worth it. It is so worth it to follow Jesus. A famous person said this. See if you can guess who said this. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. Who said that? John Wayne. Right on. Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite guys. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. So that's what we need to do. You know, in the last week, our church has made some decisions. And in Acts 2:42, I wanted to read that this morning. Acts 2:42. It says here, it's amazing to read about the early church in Acts and study that a little bit. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So isn't that amazing to read about that? You know, we made some decisions in our church that our fellowship is, we need to restore our fellowship. We need to come together as one body. And Hebrews 10:25, it says here, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, as a church, we need to be together. And the longer that we're apart, the harder it is on us as a church, as God's people. And all the more as the day draws near, the day of the Lord draws near. We can see that coming so clearly. And so those decisions might cost us something. But we need to be prepared for that. So number one, stop, look, and listen. You know, sometimes we need to do that. Figure out where we're at, where we're going. Get into God's word, get into prayer, get into listening. Listen to the Lord. Stop, be quiet, the Bible says. God says, be still and know that I am God. And that's so amazing. When you get still and quiet before the Lord, he'll speak to you. We repent of our sins and come clean, and God will speak to us. And number two, each of us has a little different call, a little different journey in life. And we got to figure that out. And we got to be faithful to the Lord in that call, in that journey. And we have to encourage one another, you know. The Lord is right there to help. Our friends are right there to help. We are right there to help our friends. So let's be there for the Lord, for each other. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So.